Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
How we doing on this fine Thursday in New York City? Evan and Tiki broadcasting live from the Cadillac Club at Citi Field is presented by your tri-state Cadillac dealers. Cadillac is the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Mets are wrapping up their four-game series against the Braves. The Yankees are off today, and they will play at Yankee Stadium tomorrow night. I do have some good news for New York Mets fans. If you're in the car, if you're driving to Citi Field, maybe you're driving home, the New York Mets currently are tied for first place because the Phillies did lose. They got swept by the Houston Astros. And so if the Mets could win tonight, which means they get a split against the Braves, terrible stretch against their division rivals, we all agree, awful, terrible, or awful, they would be a first-place team all by their lonesome. Isn't that baseball, Tiki?
That is baseball.
Some may say that's baseball, Susan.
It'd been crazy to think that the Mets were going to have the lead for the entirety, start to finish.
Well, that was crazy.
It'd be crazy if someone would bet anything on that. But
yes.
Some people are just nuts like that.
Well,
they don't really know baseball, and according to Mike Francesa, should never watch a game again.
That is true. And that person is Sean Morash, who now has his very own Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. What a privilege it is to be out at the Cadillac Club in Citi Field today. And I'm here to give you the five reasons why you need to experience the Cadillac Club at least once in your life as a Mets fan. All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Imagine going to a baseball game and instead of entering through the regular gates, you enter to a speakeasy bar. Imagine sitting there going, what's behind that wall? Oh, an entire club? It's pretty incredible when you
walk in. It is.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
We got to experience this pregame, but in my opinion, having been to every venue in the New York City area, the Cadillac Club seats, the most comfortable seats in sports in the New York area. These nice brown recliner-like chairs, wide, comfy, nobody sweating over you. It's great.
That's right. You caught me when you came in today. What was I doing while sitting in those chairs?
Napping?
No, I was putting my scoreboard
together. Oh, that's right.
You forgot that already?
I did forget.
Apria was napping.
That's right. Steve-O was thinking. Here we go.
Number three.
As you can see behind us, if you're watching an SNY, a classy lounge bar. But if you're sitting there having your cocktail, your martini like Tiki does, you turn around to the left, complete view of the field and the outfield. How many better bars are like that in baseball?
You'll be staring at Juan Soto's rear.
Yeah.
It's a good rear to stare at.
And how luscious.
Not as good as Mrs. Met.
Wow. Well, here we go.
Mrs. Met really got that seat meat.
Number two.
A unique view. Look, you're staring at Yankee legend Juan Soto play right field for nine innings. Pretty cool. You're sitting inside a wall.
Why are you trolling on your Cinco?
That's not a trolling.
Yeah, it is.
The crazy
Yankee legend.
Carry them to an American League championship.
It is, but what I've learned about the troll is sometimes you blow past it. Yeah. Like it didn't even happen. The coolest thing is if there's a drive to right field and the right fielder, in this case Juan Soto, or in the Braves' case, Ronald Acuna Jr., crashes into the gate right in front of you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, a hockey moment where you're sitting on the glass. That is very, very cool as well.
And last but not least,
number one.
The number one reason you need to experience the Cadillac Club with your life, the food doesn't stop coming.
That's true.
You will have a pregame buffet, traditional stadium fare, different revolving stuff each night. The Sunday games have some brunch stuff involved. Then you get like a Shake Shack burger run a couple innings in. Then they come with the ice cream. They'll come right to your seat. You walk out of here feeling like Juan Soto felt when he signed the contract, just a couple extra pounds. So
see,
Cadillac Club, the place to be.
That's another troll job, as you just heard.
Oh, no, we showed a tight jersey.
He meant his wallet.
Yeah. Oh, is that what he meant?
Exactly.
Thank you, Sean. Cinco de Fivo every day at 5 o'clock. Now, the Met lineup today, I was taking a look at it. Lindor, Nimmo's DHing, so he gets to half an off day.
When can Soto get a DH day?
I think he's only had one this season, if any.
He doesn't like DHing.
Yeah, Mendy hasn't done that a lot. He hasn't done it with Pete either. I think Lindor's had it only once. I was surprised. I thought Nimmo was going to have it more often, but he hasn't. Anyhow, Soto 3, Alonso 4. McNeil's actually shifting over to left field today. Taylor in center, Beatty at third base, Torrens behind the plate, and Ronnie Mauricio at second base. This could be another, all right, Ronnie, you've had two good games in a row. Let's see if you can keep it going. If you do, we could keep you on the roster when Vientos is activated tomorrow. He has not been activated yet. And to me, the Mets have two options on who they can send down. They could send down Ronnie Mauricio, mm-hmm. and like Howie Rose said, he needs to play a lot. Or they could send down Jared Young, considering Jared Young is a waste of space.
Oh, boy.
You suspect it's going to be Jared Young.
No,
you
I don't.
Hope, you hope it is.
So I'm kind of mixed about it because I do understand the reason why Acuna went down and the reason why Alvarez went down is to play every day. I think you can find a way for Mauricio to play every day. Like, you could treat Vientos as the DH, Beatty plays third, Mauricio plays second, and McNeil plays a lot of center. Like, I don't think that's crazy.
No, you're
right.
And
then Taylor comes in late because I like Tyrone Taylor. Tyrone Taylor's a fourth outfielder.
Right.
Like, we have to understand that's what he is.
Yeah, and you have options because those guys, Beatty can play second or third, as can Mauricio. You have options with what you can do with the lineup fielding-wise. And so it's just a matter of who's, I don't want to say hot-ish right now, but I think Mauricio, as Howie Rose just told us, he needs to play.
Well, that's the real question. Like, I can find a way conceivably, realistically, to get Mauricio three starts a week, four mm-hmm. starts a week. Is that enough? The Mets may feel it's not. He needs to play 6 days a week.
So, I don't think it's enough.
Well, then he's going down.
I mean, he came off an ACL.
Then he's going down to the minors.
He's got
to
play.
Then he's going down to the minors mm-hmm. because Vientos coming back creates more mm-hmm. kind of mouths you need to feed. And, oh, by the way, they're not that far away from Jesse Winker coming back. And that's when he really goes down to the minors. So I think eventually Ronnie goes down, but what he can do is make things difficult.
Yeah, but Winker's mostly going to DH, right?
Yes, yes.
He's not going to – you're not worried about him playing in the field right now.
No, but once he starts DHing, now Vientos is likely to play more third base, which means Beatty's either playing second base or not playing, and it doesn't leave room for Ronnie Mauricio. So either way you cut it, it means Mauricio is not playing,
right.
And then the Mets will ultimately send him down to the minors, but make things difficult. Many years ago, they had a player named Mike Jacobs. He had a home run. Mets couldn't send him down. Hit another home run. Pedro Martinez came out and said, you can't send this guy down. He keeps hitting home runs, and he stayed up until they eventually traded him for Carlos Delgado.
Yeah.
True story.
Also, Ronnie Mauricio is going to get traded at the deadline.
Well,
that's what you're saying.
Possibly. Yeah.
Calls in a second. Do you know what the Mets are doing tonight they haven't done all year?
I do not.
They are wearing the blue tops at home.
Oh, really? They haven't done that at all this season.
No.
I like those blue tops. But they really are a road jersey. Don't they say New York across the front?
Yeah, as far as I remember, they're wearing them tonight, though.
So it's like a road jersey, because usually when you're home, it says Mets. When you're on the road, it says New York. So unless there's a different version that I'm not remembering.
This is just the sweatshirts they have on, but the blue, and they say Mets across the front.
You got to see the actual jersey,
yeah, exactly.
Which I haven't seen yet.
Nobody has their jersey on.
Can you do some research, Sean? Can you go into the locker room and find out?
Sure.
Literally, we are 15 feet away. 15 feet, exaggeration. Yeah. We're about 50 feet away from the locker room. Go out, make a right, knock on the door like the Wizard of Oz, and see if they'll let you in.
Yeah.
And then
it'll
end with, we got a horse of a different color. Yeah. Come on in.
I know it's near because Kodai Senga just walked past me as I went to the bathroom. No limp.
What'd you say to him?
Nothing. I didn't think he'd
understand. Did you say Pete still feels bad?
On. He would understand you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's disrespectful.
He just doesn't want to talk.
Oh, is that? Okay.
You don't think Kodai Senga understands any English? You're very disrespectful.
I honestly thought, based on the translator, didn't. I really wasn't trying to be disrespectful.
Well, it was. You should apologize.
I apologize, Kodai.
Okay.
Next time I'll say what's up.
Yeah, you should.
I'm trying to find the...
She said, how you feeling?
He might not understand what's up, because that's lingo.
Oh,
yeah, you're confusing him.
Say hello.
Hello.
All right, let's go to Chris calling from Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
Guys, I love the show. The interviews are great. And you know, Evan, it feels like opening day. It feels like a reset to the Mets. And I want to thank you for that. Like,
it is, because guess what? We're halfway through the season. This is half number two. That's why we're here. We decided, hey, let's have a reopening day. So good call, Chris. I should have thought of that two hours ago.
Thanks for the great show. So two quick things. I have a question for you, Evan. So quickly, you know, I was thrilled what Clay Holmes did yesterday because he didn't throw a meatball first pitch to Acuna. He fell in, and he got him to strike out, and I love that Clay Holmes did that. Okay.
Yes.
Now, on the Mauricio thing, I'm intrigued, Evan. I'm with you. I mean, if they can find a way for him to get enough at bat, there is flexibility. I just kind of want to see him, but that's just me. Now, Evan, my biggest question to you is, with this shuttle, with all these players going back and forth in the bullpen, every day there's another guy in, out.
Right.
And I'm sure it's not only the Mets. Do you think Major League Baseball will ever expand the rosters like if you added two more players, because baseball now is so bullpen dependent, if you added two more slots, you could have two more relief pitchers than everyone's.
They don't want that.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
But my thoughts are they want to do the opposite.
Yeah, they want starters to go longer.
Yeah, and so
even if they're struggling.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. And Rob Manfred has said that, and I happen to agree with him, that their goal over the next few years is to find a way for starters to go deep into games. If you give managers the crutch of more bullpen arms, there's no reason for starters to go deeper into games. Now, unfortunately, what this creates when you have a rotation like the Mets or other teams is you got to do this shuttle. And the shuttle is stupid. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get why you do it. You're taking advantage of the system. But you need to get more arms up and down. But I don't think it's something Major League Baseball wants to continue. It's something they want to get away from because they want starters to go deeper into games. And you know, we talked the other day about this thing called the double hook. And remember, the MLB CBA runs out at the end of the year. There's a chance when baseball comes out of their work stoppage, whatever it looks like, that baseball can be very different, that it can look very different. And one of the things that's been floated, at least we talked about it the other day, was this double hook idea where if a starter doesn't go six innings, you lose the DH.
Yes.
Well, let's go back to last night's Met game. Clay Holmes has thrown over 90 pitches. Mm-hmm. He's gotten through five by the skin of his teeth, and he's given up one run. If you're Carlos Mendoza and you are going to lose your designated hitter if he doesn't get through six, are you not pushing him to get through six?
Yeah, you are, but this is why this will never happen.
Because it could cause injury?
It could cause injury. It could cause imprudent decisions that will either hurt your player or cause you to lose the game.
Yeah.
And it's an untenable situation.
That's baseball, baby.
It is baseball, but that's not the baseball that we grew up knowing.
But
if a guy is struggling and he needs to be taken out, you take him out.
But I brought up this idea to you a few days ago, and you're like, that's kind of intriguing. You get through six, okay, you get to keep the DH. If you take him out early, you lose the DH. Last night's Met game was like the perfect example to use and say, okay, what do you do? And your answer is, oh, no, this is stupid.
Well, no, what you're gonna get a bunch of these kids that come out of high school that are great at both. They're great pitchers and they're great hitters. And then at some point, they just get transitioned to being one. Usually it's the pitcher. But if that should happen, this transition that you're talking about, those guys will keep hitting. Right, they'll keep getting batting practice.
Because, oh, so you think it'll redevelop?
Right, especially if they're not like in scouts' minds going to be a great starting pitcher. You're gonna be a relief pitcher, but you also got to hit.
Because
you got to also be able to DH.
I like that too. And you got me even more interested in this new rule. JR in Somerville. Hey, JR.
Hey, I love it when Manfred Roberts comes up with new rules for his commissioner buddy. Love it when he. When he does that. Hey, did you enjoy your coalition of Nets losers enjoy all those picks that he Marsh made?
I like the switch on there with that, JR.
We didn't like it, and I'll tell you this.
If you did not
he
like that.
Well, no, I didn't like the draft. He's right. Asking me a question. Right. No, I did not have a good time. And number two, if these guys don't develop, he will be out of a job. So, as Joe Beningo used to say, you better get it right, bro. You better be right about these guys. Otherwise, you're going to be unemployed.
Enough about that loser franchise. Okay. You embarrassed yourself by asking Pete Alonso for home runs like a sick kid in the hospital earlier today. That was ridiculous. Okay? And you really should be in there talking about something that you were talking about last week about Anthony Volpe that you're correct about. Swinging at the first pitch, okay? The Mets have a problem hitting with runners in scoring position because of how they hit when they swing at the first pitch. They have the lowest OPS in baseball when it comes down to it. They're well below what happens if they do take the first pitch. And
interesting.
If you look at teams like the Yankees, are about 850 OPS on the first pitch.
Right.
The Dodgers are about 850. The Mets are at 700 OPS on the first
pitch
right now.
JR, I got to hand it to you. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. When we were debating, Sean and I, about Volpe swinging at the first pitch, my point to him was, this is universal. This isn't just Volpe or just the Yankees. Players tend to perform better when they swing at the first pitch. And the MLB average is high.
Right.
And he's telling me, and I have not I haven't dived into these numbers, but guess who's about to? Me.
Right.
That the Mets,
he's basically saying the Mets don't have good numbers.
Right. They stink with swinging at the first pitch, which is interesting. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I think you have to look at the individual players. It feels like Jeff McNeil swings at the first pitch often, and it doesn't really work out. Does Juan Soto struggle swinging at the first pitch? Same thing with Pete. And also,
I don't think Juan Soto swings a lot at first pitches.
Oh, no, he'll pick a few.
Yeah, but
he will pick a few. He's selective when he does it, but right. Sometimes I think the reason Juan Soto swings at the first pitch, in fact, I did confirm this with my scorebook, the home run he hit in the fourth inning was a first pitch. You guys could scoff all you want. We're talking about it, and I just gave you relevant information.
No, but the fact that you don't even have your scorebook, we're looking at a picture of your scorebook.
Yeah, I took a picture of my scorebook.
I'm a loser.
So you can reference it when you're talking about what Juan Soto did last night is the nerdiest thing I think I've ever heard.
But here's the bottom line. It can be nerdy. It can be whatever you want to call
it. I'm a loser. Your scorebook is right there.
I know. I don't want to open it all the time. Gets fingerprints all over it.
Come on.
Here's what I know. A caller just called up to make a very good point about the Mets' failure swinging at the first pitch.
Yes, but not counting Juan Soto.
Well, I looked at my scorecard.
Okay, what about everybody else? Look at your scorecard.
You want me to go through the whole freaking game?
Everybody.
All right, here we go.
Anybody else get a hit on the
first
pitch?
Watch how quick I can do this.
Yes, Brandon, well, I mean, you have your scorebook right there. It should be very easy.
Brandon Nimmo swung at the first pitch in the third inning and flied out to left field.
Yep, man.
I mentioned the Pete Alonso home run. And obviously not counting. Oh, Jeff.
Pete Alonso?
I'm sorry, the Juan Soto home run.
Say,
Jeff
me.
McNeil swung at the first pitch with one out in the fifth inning and singled to left center field.
Okay.
And those are the only three examples of the ball being put in play.
So they hit 600, basically, what you're saying.
Well, no, 667. Okay, two for whatever. Three. Yeah, well, you know what? How about this?
Let's ask somebody who knows.
Ron Darling was a tremendous pitcher for many years in Major League Baseball. He's a great analyst now on SNY. I want to ask you a question. Hi, Ron. Thank you very much for coming.
Great to see you, man.
Hi, Evan. How are you?
I am
you
fantastic.
You came in the middle of a debate.
We're having a baseball geek debate, and think you, as someone who played it and is very smart, could help settle this.
I'm a little geeky, too. So.
Good.
As a pitcher, did you not like or like when a batter would swing at the first pitch? I'm a proponent of it, that you sometimes it's the best pitch that you will get. Soto hit his first home run on the first pitch. Apparently, the Mets' statistics overall are not good swinging at the first pitch.
This is according to a caller. It's according to JR.
Yeah, I have to back up his numbers, actually. Your opinion on the opponent, or in this case, the Mets, swinging aggressively at the first pitch?
Well, I think I talked to Miguel Cabrera about this many years ago. You remember when it was really du jour of all the teams to see if they can see four, or five, six pitches every at-bat?
Right.
And Miguel Cabrera, who's by far the best hitter of his generation at that time, said, no, I swing at the first pitch. He's like, you just don't know what's going to be the pitch. The thing about Soto is that, I can't prove this, I think he sets up pitchers. I think he, the first time up against a young kid, Fuentes, he took a lot of pitches. Mm. He took one pitch right down the middle. And then the second time up, he was going to say, he's going to try to get ahead of me, and I'm going to see what I can do. He's just so great that he hits a home run.
So he's playing mind games.
Yes. And most
rope-a-dope.
Yes. And most people, of course, might hit a single or something. But for him, it's a home run.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So overall, is it a smart approach to be aggressive? Because that may be the best pitch you get.
Baseball is a strange game. You only have three strikes. Why would you waste any of them? Mm. So be aware or ready or alert for each and every pitch.
Mm. Interesting.
I mean, I don't know who won that then.
No, I think he's basically saying I'm right.
I don't know. I think he's saying great hitters. Look at what he's talking about. Miguel Cabrera.
That's right. That's right.
What about, I don't know, Ronnie Mauricio or Mark Vientos, any of these younger guys?
I think Tiki makes – I know what Tiki's saying. I get it. Is that if you're really highly skilled, you don't have to swing at the first pitch.
Yeah,
because I know I'm going to get another pitch to hit, and I'm going to put it in play.
You have the confidence.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Before we even get into the Mets, I'm curious now, talking about you playing and being a baseball player, who is the toughest hitter you ever faced?
Well, it's a couple different ones, because Tony Gwynn was impossible to get out.
Right.
I think he had a 450 off me, but he did against Smoltz.
Everybody.
Maddox, he had a 450 against everybody. I gave up two hits to Tony Gwynn, in fact, on balls that bounced.
Wow.
He had two balls that bounced for base hits, and he had the audacity.
Now, what do you mean bounce? I mean,
I threw a ball, so it was going to bounce, so he would swing over it, and it bounced, and he hit it on the bounce like a tennis player for a single up the middle. So he had the audacity, and I say that because Tony was my great friend
and
one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. But I got into San Diego late one night before we were going to play the Padres in the 80s. And there was a TV show, and it was about Tony. And he had the audacity on the show to say I was one of the toughest pitchers he faced.
Right.
So I marched right to the cage the next day. I said, Tony, that's BS, man. Why would you do that? He goes, I don't know how I get hits off you. I don't see the ball.
Really?
And I was like, well, can you imagine if he saw it? He did 1,000. So he just, he was so great. And then.
Yeah, and he hit 420 off of you. Yeah. Can you imagine what he's hitting off everybody else?
And then Mike Schmidt and Jack Clark both, when they stood in the box, you know, there's no fear when you play sports, Tiki. Mm-hmm. You know that. But there is apprehension occasionally, you know, when you you know you're going to get the ball and you're going to a guy that's going to rip your head off if he's not blocked properly. So those two guys, when they got in the box, they took up the whole box. They were tremendously big men. In our day, you know, they didn't have the weight training like the guys have today. Mm. You know, they were the human muscle, too, and they just look like they're going to hit one right off your forehead.
I'll tell you something interesting. I think during the pandemic I did this. I was looking at Tony Gwynn's numbers against everybody, and it really is amazing. Like, no joke, 350 against every Hall of Famer. Everybody he faced more than 30 or 40 times he had a great average against, except for one person.
Wow.
Can you get – and I bring it up because you know him. He was your teammate.
Really?
There's one guy he could not hit.
Coney.
Doc Gooden.
Oh, really?
Yes, I couldn't believe it. Huh.
Wow.
Like, everyone, it's 370, 390, 420. And then with Doc, it was like 230.
But why would that be?
I think he caught Doc and right when Doc was Doc.
Maybe
nobody hit Doc. In
that days, is true. So, no one did.
So. Yeah. So tell us about this this last little streak that the Mets have been on.
Yeah.
Negative, obviously, of course. And we had Pete on earlier, and he was talking about the football analogy. You know, it's 2 weeks is basically one game. Or 14 games is basically one game in the NFL. And I can imagine that the player has to look at it that way. But in real time, when you're on a whatever it was before they won last night, 10 of 11 losing, how do you mentally get yourself out of that?
It's a really, really great question. I think for baseball players, they're wired that way, that they know the long season is going to produce some streaky results. Ball players, all of them, whether they're the greatest of the greats, going to be Hall of Famers, or guys that are just the pedestrian players, they try to limit those bad streaks because you know it's going to happen and augment the good streaks. And the real Hall of Famers are able to do that. I think you have to play mind games with yourself. I think you have to say to yourself, you know what? I'm hitting the ball hard. I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Trying too hard, like in football, I feel now. I played, you know, a little high school football, college football, but you know, you could try harder and there would be a result.
Right, it would work.
It would
you
work.
Could hit that guy harder, and he would feel it
exactly. And in baseball, it doesn't work that way, really. You know, even if you grunt throwing the ball into the batter, it doesn't mean he's not going to hit it hard. So. I think you have to play mind games with yourself, and then you have to have an incredible coaching staff. You have to have incredible kind of strength with each other. Like, you have to trust each other that, okay, I know you're doing your job. I'm doing my job. Let's just keep holding our end. At some point, it's going to turn. And then you need a leader, and I think their manager, he's authentic. He does an amazing job, and I say that because most of the managers I meet in when I'm traveling around baseball, when something like this happens, no one's fault. You know, this happens. You know, it's no big deal. We're going to get – you know, he calls it out. He says, like, we're terrible. You know, we're – you know, our bottom of the order is bad or our bullpen is not getting any outs. Or, like, he ends up calling everybody out so no one's singled out.
Right. I'll ask you to single it out because we're analyzing here.
All right, okay.
Bottom of the order, bullpen, starters not going deep enough. That's all been kind of the problem during this streak. Which concerns you the most?
Boy, that's a good question. I'm not worried about the lineup because when everyone's in there, Vientos starting tomorrow night, depth of lineup is good. Bullpens always worry me because there's a real fungibility to bullpens. You know, guys can have a month that they're the greatest reliever you've ever seen, and then they have a hard time getting out. So I think you always need a lot of depth in the bullpen. But for me, and Philadelphia has the advantage in this way, every night they throw a guy out, even though they've lost a lot of games they haven't scored.
Right.
Every night they throw a guy out and go 7 scoreless. That, to me, is always the strength of the game.
Right.
It limits the streaks you're talking about, Tiki, and puts you in a place each and every night. The Mets do that. if Manaea and Senga are in there.
Right.
They'll have a harder time doing it if they're not.
Yeah, so, I mean, you bring up the starting rotations. The issue right now is that they're not getting deep, and so it's putting too much tax on the bullpen. Sean Manaea, we saw throwing a little bit out here. We don't know what the full status is. And when we heard Mindy, and I guess David Stearns also talking about this a couple of days ago, I'm a little bit confused because I know what loose bodies are. I used to have them in my knees from all the bone spurs and stuff like that. And it's fine, but it hurts. But I'm a football player.
Yeah.
I'm not a pitcher who's very, sensitive right elbow or left elbow could really derail your season. What does it mean for Sean Manaea right now? Cortisone shot, obviously pain, inflammation, etc. When can we expect him to be right again?
Yeah, I had loose bodies, elbow issues from 87 on the rest of my career. And I had three different surgeries for it. Never missed any time, never went on the injured list, so I was very lucky. But it really comes to a point. There's a lot of issues, okay? If you're really young in your career, you might get the surgery and try to get it 100% and come back and then take your mark.
Right.
He's just signed a long-term contract. So I think it's incumbent on him, if he can go, he's going to have to suck it up with the pain and just go out there and pitch. Now, as far as you asking about the loose bodies, and some days you'll wake up and they're in the right position,
right,
and you feel great, and you can throw as hard as you've ever thrown. And then some days you get up, and you can't, towel your head off. It's a very strange kind of injury that comes and goes, but usually with the right medication, anti-inflammatories, things like that, it can get you through a season, certainly.
Yeah.
We're talking to Ron Darling. We're live from the Cadillac Club. Mets are playing the Braves tonight. David Peterson, up until his last start, was starting to feel like, wow, he could be the ace of this team. What has changed watching David Peterson early in his career to what he has become now?
Well, he's healthy. He's fully evolved as a pitcher. He always had a great competitive side. I always loved that about him. He always had enough stuff to be a big star in this league. I think his control is much better now than it ever was before, probably because of the health. And I just think he wants to be good. Half the battle of trying to be a really successful professional athlete is you got to want it, and you got to believe it. You got to believe, I'm good. And I think he's at that point right now. Now, he's had a couple of hiccups, but I'm a big believer in today's game. We love it occasionally when the guy goes for the complete game and we're just going nuts. It's so nice. But watch their starts after a complete game. They're always a little iffy for the first couple of starts. So I'm sure he's ready for Pittsburgh tomorrow. He'll probably throw a gem tomorrow.
Doesn't that drive you crazy? In your day, it was pitch a complete game. Oh, great, do it again. Now it's all right, just go get us five innings. It's all good.
Every generation gets to play the game the way they want to play. The other night, Acuna, did his thing with his home run trot around the bases. Now listen, if I were still playing, it would bother me. I'm not, so it doesn't bother me at all. You can play the game, let the kids play. You can do whatever you want to do. I think as far as the complete game and all that stuff, you make an interesting and great point. If we ever want pitchers to get back or innings, you're going to have to incentivize it.
Yeah, we were just talking about
you let the pitchers know that you are not going to get paid for a five-inning start, you're not going to get paid for 20 starts in a 110-inning year. You're going to get paid because you make your 30 starts. You're going to get paid because you make 180 innings. You will see a shift so quickly like you've never seen before, because the bottom line is, for all professional athletes, you're maxing out your earning time. Yeah. That's all it is.
Right. Now, when you say a shift – and I'm assuming approach is a big part of that.
Yeah.
So we had CC Sabathia on at Fanatics Fest.
Is he awesome or what?
Oh, he's fantastic. Awesome. He's one of our good friends. And when I was talking about the end of his career, when he lost some velocity, he had to learn how to pitch. Do you think that happens? I mean, the pitch clock has sped things up, so you're not seeing guys rear back and try to hit 97 every pitch. But now you got to learn how to pitch differently if what you're saying is going to happen, being incentivized to go deep into games.
Well, one, you're going to have to get rid of the arbitrary 100-pitch limit. You're going to have to go where a Paul Skenes should be 130 pitches.
Right.
And some other people maybe are closer to 100.
That's Sean's argument, by the way.
Well, he said it about Clark Schmidt.
I'm just saying. That's Sean's argument. I'm just saying.
I think the hardest thing for a guy like CeCe is that he was so great. and such a macho pitcher
right.
that went right after guys is that when you lose a little, you got to lose the macho. And that's hard to lose, man, right? Because that's part of your whole strut.
Well, you know what he would do? He'd just hit you.
Yeah, exactly. He'd do whatever he wanted to
that's
do.
That's how he stayed macho.
What are you going to do? He's 6'8". I'm not going after him. But you have to lose that macho. And every time that you, in the past, would add, you have to subtract. Mm. And when that happens for the first time, you kind of feel bad.
Right.
It doesn't make you feel good. But when it becomes successful, then you're like, oh, wait a minute. This is what it's all about anyway. It's just supposed to be good.
I want to go back to Acuna because he ticked off a lot of Met fans as well.
He's
doing the Euro step. He's dancing. And we took calls throughout the day. The Mets should drill him. The Mets should really drill him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think they're going to drill him because most Met players are going to celebrate too if they hit a home run.
Yeah. Right.
Clay Holmes came up and in often and early. I didn't get the sense it was related, though. I got the sense it was he's a tough hitter, and this is how you have to face him.
Right.
What was your sense on the up and into Acuna?
Yeah, you don't. You don't have to hit a hitter to give a message, and I think Clay Holmes delivered that message. And the message was this: it's I understand your talent. I know how great you are, but don't get comfortable on my watch. I'm pitching tonight. Don't get comfortable. That's all I'm telling you.
Right.
And I think that's only the only message you should send. I think it's really horse, you know what. If a guy's great and he's hitting you and you hit him, why would you hit? I mean,
right.
I mean that's on you.
Right.
That's not on him.
You threw the pitch.
Yeah, get better. You know what I mean? So I always think it's bad to hit a guy because he's great. Now, pitching inside, you see the Dodgers have to do that to Tatis Jr. That's how you have to pitch Acuna.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to get him out, you've got to make sure he doesn't get extended. And pitching inside is an art. And not everyone can do it.
Right. Now, you mentioned something earlier about Mark Vientos and coming, likely being activated tomorrow. If, I don't know. You said he's going to be in a starting lineup. We don't know if he's going to be in the starting lineup.
No. But, so presumptuous.
Right. Yeah. But there's a corresponding move that has to happen here. Ronnie Mauricio is a guy who is I don't say he's struggling to keep his spot here, but it feels like he's struggling to keep his spot here. You talk about turning on inside pitch. You saw that last night.
Yeah.
Young kid comes inside. He turns on it, barrels it, and throws it way in the back of the stadium. But what's going to happen if Mark Vientos comes back? Because there's some guys that need to play. And I think there's going to be some odd men out.
Yeah, I think the Mets are have really turned the corner on this. I think they make decisions based on how do we get the player ready and better for our stretch run. And if Mauricio goes down, it is not a slight. It's only because they need him. Mm-hmm. He has a chance of all their young players, and I know – you know, one of the things about organizations is they love to sell their young players.
Of course.
Mauricio is legit. Mm. You know, he hasn't played for a couple of years, but he is legit. He's got some skills that the other guys don't have. And if they're going to make a run, he's going to be a big part of it in August and September. So maybe in the short run, it's going to hurt his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But in the long run, it'll help him
right.
and it'll help the organization.
Indeed. Ron, we appreciate you coming on, man.
Oh,
thank
guys,
you very much.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You,
I appreciate it. Your show's great. Way
thank
go.
You, man.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
How we all doing on a beautiful Thursday night? Getting set for the Mets to wrap up this four-game series against the Atlanta Braves and also wrap up this homestand. We are broadcasting live from the Cadillac Club at Citi Field, presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac is the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Real quick, last night at the NBA draft, a couple of things around Jason Kidd, the potential Knicks head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Until Jason Kidd signs an extension with Dallas,
right.
the rumor is going to live. Nico Harrison, of course, was asked about this. I want you to take a listen to Nico's answer, and I'll tell you why everything he said is crap. Ladies and gentlemen, Nico Harrison being asked about Jason Kidd potentially coaching the New York Knicks.
Are there rumors still out there about Jay Kidd?
Apparently.
Oh, okay. I thought I shut him down. Yes, he will be the coach next year.
Wow, yeah. He was laughing the whole time.
So here's what we shouldn't be confused by. If it was up to Nico Harrison, Jason Kidd is the coach.
Of course.
Like, he's not lying. Jason Kidd becoming the coach of the New York Knicks goes back to something we talked about when this started. Jason Kidd would have to make things uncomfortable. Jason Kidd would have to be the snake in the grass. So I don't think Nico Harrison is lying. That's not the right wordage for it.
He was laughing, though.
He's laughing because he knows what kind of snake Jason Kidd is.
Well, the question is, has he actually had a conversation with Jason Kidd? Does he actually know what he's talking about?
I'm going to tell you something, Teague. I've heard they don't speak.
Right. So have they had conversations about what's happening with the Dallas Mavericks for the 2025-2026 season? The answer is likely not yet.
Right.
They were chummy last night together.
Were they? That's fake chummy because that's in public with people seeing it. You know what I mean? Like, that's not
they were laughing
the
with
real,
each other.
Yeah, but that's fake. That's what I'm telling you.
Well, I mean,
they drafted
Cooper Flagg.
Right.
Would you not be chummy?
But they're also Teague in front of people.
Yes.
Like, they're not idiots. Mm. I've heard they don't speak. Now, maybe what I'm hearing is incorrect. I mean, do you have a source telling you otherwise?
No, I would just say,
oh, okay.
I believe Jason Kidd has not been in that many Hollywood productions, and he'd be some actor based on what we saw last night if it was that fake.
You, of all people, are wondering if Jason Kidd's an actor? Remember The Migraine? You see that movie?
Not the actual movie.
No, the movie in which he performed having a migraine. I'll give you one other clip. Our very own Zach Gelb was at the draft. Great question to Cooper Flagg.
Hmm.
Hey, Cooper, has Jason Kidd basically told you, don't worry, I'm going to coach you? Listen to this interaction. Tell me what you get from this.
Cooper, being here in New York, there's a ton of speculation about Jason Kidd, potentially even the Mavs, to coach the Knicks. Has he given you any assurance that he'll be your coach? And if so, what do you kind of hope to learn from him?
No, I haven't had those conversations yet at all. But I think talking with, you know, Coach Kidd, you know, my workout and even after I got picked, I was on the phone with him for a minute. I think he's just excited. He has a good vision for me and what I can do and how I can impact the game. So I'm excited to just talk to him more.
The first part of that answer tells you everything you need to know. Jason Kidd didn't reassure the number one overall pick.
I know.
Don't worry, I'll be the coach.
No, he didn't say that.
Because he's angling his exit.
Well, it's just he's playing both sides of the middle. So that's what you do.
Well, here's
when you don't know what your future or what you actually want if you're Jason Kidd.
Oh, no. He knows what he wants. Mm. See, here's what I think is happening.
Well, what he's doing yet. That's really what the issue is.
Jason Kidd wants to coach the New York Knicks. Like, if it's up to him, he'd be coaching the New York Knicks yesterday. But it's not up to him.
Right.
And it is complicated. Like, Nico Harrison wants Jason Kidd to coach the Mavericks. Like, I'm not denying that part. But Jason Kidd can also make things uncomfortable enough for Nico to say, all right, let's move on.
Yeah.
So I think what we're witnessing, and this is a part of why, you know, the Knicks get so much criticism, it's just unfair. They want Jason Kidd.
Of course they do.
Okay, these interviews that they're doing, they may not get Jason Kidd, so you still have to do the interviews. Right. So you have to look at, hey, is this the right guy? Is that the right guy? They want Jason Kidd, and right now we are involved in like a chess match between Nico Harrison and Jason Kidd. I don't even think the Knicks were involved in the chess match. They're just waiting
to see if
the snake can get what he wants.
They're just hanging out. By the way, thank you, SNY. Thanks for joining us here at the Cadillac Club. I cannot wait till you go off air because I can get my martini and have a beverage. Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers. And thank you, Jeannie. She got us the bucket hats.
Oh, thank you.
They're amazing.
Thank you very much.
She brought them over. I don't know who actually
got
them.
She doesn't want credit.
But she's getting credit even if she doesn't want it.
She brought us M&M's.
And M&M's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So do you agree?
What about what?
The point you made before you said goodbye to SNY.
I don't know. I'm thinking about my martini. I don't know what you're talking about.
How about credit to Zach Gelb, who went to the draft with the purpose of asking that one question?
Zach did a great job. It's a great question because Cooper Flagg has no reason to lie. He's going to be honest.
Absolutely.
And so his honest answer
was... He doesn't know
was,
that he needs to lie.
Right. First of all, Cooper Flagg is not paying attention to the Knicks coaching search.
No.
Or the rumors and innuendo that's around. So Cooper gave an honest answer, which is, no, he hasn't reassured me. And I think it shows you that this is still a possibility. And I would say it's 50-50, not because Jason Kidd doesn't want the job. It's 50-50 because I don't know if Kidd's going to be able to orchestrate the exit that he wants. Well, but he wants to coach the Knicks.
How much interaction do you think he had with Cooper Flagg before the draft?
I, think they had plenty.
Yeah, because they take the visits, all the things that Ace Bailey didn't want to do, Cooper Flagg likely did with the Dallas Mavericks because everybody knew that he was going to the Dallas Mavericks.
Yes.
So go ahead and take advantage of it, get ahead of the game, etc. So in those two or three or however many visits they were, that never came up?
I guess because Jason Kidd A is not going to want to lie to him. Because I think he is angling for this job, and I think if we're looking for signs, obviously there are two things that would end the Jason Kidd thing. Number one, the Knicks just hire somebody.
Right.
Obviously that happens, it's over. And the other thing would be Kidd signing an extension. He has not. Hmm. We have not heard of an extension. If the extension gets signed, then Sean, you have every right to say, see, this was all a play for more money.
Yeah.
And he got it, and I would say, you're right. That's what happened.
Right.
But until that happens, this is a possibility. This is wide open, and I believe the Knicks are still waiting on the Jason Kidd saga, and I do think it's 50-50, if I had to give you a number on it.
But doesn't there come a certain point here is now, okay, we're going to night two of the draft. There's got to be a drop-dead date where you need to hire a coach eventually. Here.
There is. The question is, what is that date? I made the argument with Tiki yesterday. I don't think they have to rush this thing. So what is the date? I mean, do you have a date?
I would think you should have some kind of input in free agency.
So you're saying the date is like in 3 days?
Yeah.
Okay. You're wrong. I disagree. Tommy, you're positive.
I am.
Give me a realistic date where you say, okay, because one thing that was interesting with you is you had a very long leash with Rodgers where, hey, I'll wait forever. Yeah. I think you want Jason Kidd. Is that fair to say?
I don't think it's fair to say, but I'm okay with it.
How long would you wait for him? What's your drop dead date where you say got to hire a coach?
I would say the night before the season starts.
Wait a minute. If you're a free agent, big or small.
When does camp start? When does the
September.
Camp? September.
In September. It's not the NFL. They run around
okay, but we also can't say, middle of summer will be fine. So, like, August 12th, that's when it's fine? Like, that's my point.
So any,
you can't say an indefinite time.
Any date we give in the summer is, like, arbitrary. That's why I gave the night before the season starts.
Hold on.
Then you're on deadline.
We know they have their superstars already, but I almost think this is more important for role players. If you're a role player making a decision between a couple teams, are you signing with a team where you have no idea who their head coach is going to be?
That's a great point.
Therefore, you don't truly know what your role is going to be?
I think that...
That's the one issue that you can't deny.
I think that there was more negative towards Thibodeau not playing, quote, me, versus I'm not sure who the coach is. Like, I think if it's even money, even situation in terms of chances of winning a championship, you're right. But if you believe the Knicks have a better chance to win a title than the other team making you an offer, I think you'll sign the deal and you'll go play for the Knicks. I agree arbitrary dates are tough. I would say, not to give you an arbitrary day, but before August 1st. Like, I think I give you the month of July to continue
month
to look.
Month of July?
Yeah.
They're going to go 30 more days?
Why are you more aghast with my opinion than his the night before
Tommy's
the season?
Just messing around. He doesn't even know. He doesn't care because somebody's going to be the head coach and it doesn't
all right,
matter.
July 20th. Is that better for you?
That's a little less than a month.
When I get back from Europe, okay? When David Wright has his number retired.
Are you coming back from Europe?
I will see. I don't know.
I
may go there and never leave. Great job by SNY. Great job by Steve Apri. Everybody here, it was a very fun time. If you missed Pete Alonso, you will hear from Pete Alonso because he joined us and it was a lot of fun. And this whole show today has been on the road. And thank you to Town Fair Tire, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. But you'll hear from Pete Alonso. We'll also be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And we appreciate it. It was a very fun time. It's always great to come to the Cadillac Club. Tiki's already offered that we should do every show from here.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Residency at the Cadillac Club?
Even during off days and during the winter.
Yeah. I'm good.
Like middle of December, we're at the Cadillac Club.
Is the bar open?
Yes.
It is. And happy birthday, Peggy. Great listeners.
Happy
here.
Birthday, Peggy.
Thank you, Peg.
And happy birthday, Brandon Tiernan.
Yes,
and happy birthday,
right.
Derek Jeter. But more importantly, screw them. Happy birthday, Peggy.
Yeah, Peggy.
Yeah.
Let's go, Peggy.
That's right. Screw Derek Jeter. That's not nice. Pete Alonso coming up next, and then a very special edition of the Luge Hour. Evan Attiki on the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.